Yes, in civil law.
You would abolish any Sabbath from human practice which shall be in the form of law, unless the individual here and there sees fit to observe it.
Certainly. That is a matter between man and his God.
Your time has expired. Please take 5 minutes to close, as I have asked you some questions. Still, they were questions that touched the trouble in my own mind.
Certainly. But I suppose that I was to have an hour to devote uninterruptedly to the points in question.
We have always been accustomed to conducting these hearings with reference to getting at the difficulties we had in our own minds, and I do not feel as though you could complain with an hour and 10 minutes, if we give you 10 minutes more.
Very good. Mr. Chairman, I have shown that in the 4th century this same movement developed a theocracy and that the papacy, religious despotism, and oppression for conscience' sake. Now I want to show the secret of at least a portion of the present movement. The representative of the National Reform Association spoke here in behalf of this proposed legislation. That association is asking for such a law and for such an amendment to the Constitution as you have proposed, in relation to the Christian religion in the public schools. That measure pleases them well, and this proposed Sunday law pleases them well.
Just incorporate that proposed amendment to the Constitution in your remarks.
Very well. It is as follows, quote, 50th Congress, SR 86, First Session, Joint Resolution, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States respecting establishments of religion and free public schools. Resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, 2/3 of each House concurring therein, that the following amendment to the Constitution of the United States be, and hereby is proposed to the states, to become valid when ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the states, as provided in the Constitution. Article Section 1. No state shall ever make or maintain any law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Section 2. Each state in this union shall establish and maintain a system of free public schools adequate for the education of all the children living therein, between the ages of 6 and 16 years inclusive, in the common branches of knowledge and in virtue, morality and the principles of the Christian religion. But no money raised by taxation imposed by law, or any money or other property or credit belonging to any municipal organization, or to any state, or to the United States, shall ever be appropriated, applied, or given to the use or purposes of any school, institution, corporation, or person, whereby instruction or training shall be given in the doctrines, tenets, belief, ceremonials, or observances peculiar to any sect, denomination, organization, or society, being, or claiming to be, religious in its character, nor shall such peculiar doctrines, tenets, belief, ceremonials, or observances be taught or inculcated in the free public schools. Section 3. To the end that each state, the United States, and all the people thereof, may have and preserve governments republican in form and in substance, the United States shall guarantee to every state, and to the people of every state and of the United States, the support and maintenance of such a system of free public schools as is herein provided. Section 4. That Congress shall enforce this article by legislation when necessary. What then do these men propose to do with the civil power when they can use it? The Christian Statesman is the organ of that association, and in its issue of October 2, 1884, said, quote, "Give all men to understand that this is a Christian nation, and that, believing that without Christianity we perish, we must maintain by all means our Christian character. Inscribe this character on our Constitution. Enforce upon all who come among us the laws of Christian morality." End quote. To enforce upon men the laws of Christian morality is nothing else than an attempt to compel them to be Christians, and does in fact compel them to be hypocrites. It will be seen at once that this will be but to invade the rights of conscience, and this, one of the vice presidents of the association declares, civil power has the right to do. Reverend David Gregg, D.D., now pastor of Park Street Church, Boston, a vice president of the National Reform Association, plainly declared in the Christian Statesman of June 5, 1884, that the civil power, quote, has the right to command the consciences of men, end quote. Reverend M. A. Galt, a district secretary and a leading worker of the association, says, quote, our remedy for all these malefic influences is to have the government simply set up the moral law and recognize God's authority behind it, and lay its hand on any religion that does not conform to it. End quote. When they have the government lay its hand on dissenters, what will they have it do? Reverend D.B. Graham, also a vice president of the association, in an address delivered at York, Nebraska, and reported in the Christian Statesman of May 21, 1885, said, quote, we might add in all justice, if the opponents of the Bible do not like our government and its Christian features, let them go to some wild, desolate land, and in the name of the devil, and for the sake of the devil, subdue it, and set up a government of their own on infidel and atheistic ideas. And then if they can stand it, stay there till they die. End quote. That is what they propose to do, and that is worse than Russia. In the Century for April, 1888, Mr. Kennan gave a view of the statutes of Russia on the subject of crimes against the faith, quoting statute after statute providing that whoever shall censure the Christian faith or the Orthodox Church, or the Scriptures, or the Holy Sacraments, or the saints, or their images, or the Virgin Mary, or the angels, or Christ, or God, shall be deprived of all civil rights, and exiled for life to the most remote parts of Siberia. This is the system in Russia, and it is in the direct line of the wishes of the National Reform Association. Nor is that all. Reverend Jonathan Edwards, D.D., another vice president of that association, makes all dissenters atheists. He names atheists, deists, Jews, and Seventh-day Baptists, then classes them all together as atheists. I will read his own words, quote, these all are for the occasion, and so far as our amendment is concerned, one class. They use the same arguments and the same tactics against us. They must be counted together, which we very much regret, but which we cannot help. The first named is the leader in the discontent and in the outcry, the atheist, to whom nothing is higher or more sacred than men, and nothing survives the tomb. It is his class. Its labors are almost wholly in his interest. Its success would be almost wholly his triumph. The rest are adjuncts to him in this contest. They must be named from him. They must be treated as, for this question, one party. End quote. They class us as atheists, and are going to condemn all alike, and you are asked to give them the power. Remember, these are the views of the members of the National Reform Association, whose secretary stood at this table this morning in defense of this Sunday law. These extracts show what his ideas are, and how he would use them. Dr. Evarts of Chicago, who also was here, declared last month in Chicago, in my hearing, on the subject of this Sunday law, that it is atheism or the Sabbath. Mr. Edwards continues, what are the rights of the atheist? I would tolerate him as I would tolerate a poor lunatic. For in my view his mind is scarcely sound. So long as he does not rave, so long as he is not dangerous, I would tolerate him. I would tolerate him as I would a conspirator. The atheist is a dangerous man. Yes, to this extent I will tolerate the atheist, but no more. Why should I? The atheist does not tolerate me. He does not smile either in pity or in scorn upon my faith. He hates my faith, and he hates me for my faith. I can tolerate difference and discussion. I can tolerate heresy and false religion. I can debate the use of the Bible in our common schools, the taxation of church property, the propriety of chaplaincies and the like, but there are some questions past debate. Tolerate atheism, sir? There is nothing out of hell that I would not tolerate as soon. The atheist may live, as I have said, but God helping us, the taint of his destructive creed shall not defile any of the civil institutions of all this fair land. Let us repeat, atheism and Christianity are contradictory terms. They are incompatible systems. They cannot dwell together on the same continent.
Many atheists are for Sunday laws.